days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord.
Welcome to Love's Last Call with Evangelist Carol Ann of Agape Light Ministries. Please open your hearts to hear an anointed message that will encourage and empower you to walk in the love and light of God's Word.
Beloved, it can be confidently said that Jerusalem is the heartbeat of God's prophetic word of truth, and that His covenant with her is as sure as the sun that marks the day, and the moon and the stars that crown the night. With His plan of salvation urging His love on, the God of all creation reached down and pulled His chosen servant Abram out of the pagan bowels of Ur, and delivered him from its cesspool of demonic deceptions and destruction, and set him on a course that would lead him and his descendants to the promised land. By His word and the integrity of His name as the great I Am, the Lord God Almighty bequeathed the entire land of Israel to Abraham and his descendants. This endowment would stand in sacred type and symbol of a greater promise, eternal life in the kingdom of God. In Genesis 12:1-3, we read the 8 proclamations held within God's promise to Abram. Interestingly, the number 8 in Scripture means new beginnings. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I shall show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." In Genesis 17:1-8, the Lord God expounds on His covenant promise. "Now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, 'I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly.' And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, 'As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I will make you the father of a multitude of nations, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come forth from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you, through their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your descendants after you. And I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God.'" This forever settled in heaven covenant promise to the people of Israel is being fiercely challenged by the agents of Lucifer, who carry within their hearts the same deep hatred for the Jewish people and the true Messiah. That this dread adversary of the one true and only God has held since pride entered into him and corrupted him. He therefore has been attempting to destroy Israel from the beginning, with failed hopes of destroying the Messiah as well. And he is still fiercely attempting to do so today through Israel's enemies and the false claims of a people who present themselves as the Palestinians. We will give definite proof that the push for a Palestinian state is a demonic device of Satan, and that, in fact, the proposal of a unique Palestinian people is a made-up myth. But first, allow me to share a commentary written for Got Questions that expounds on the truth of the Jewish nation alone being entitled to the entire land of Israel, which was given to them by Jehovah God in eternal covenant promise. We will then move on to a commentary that establishes the Palestinian myth. In the God Questions commentary, entitled What is the Land That God Promised to Israel?, they write, "There is probably no more disputed real estate on earth than the land of Israel. Even calling it Israel will raise objections from some quarters. The Jewish people lay claim to the land because they first held possession of it millennia ago, and because God directly gave them the land, as recorded in the Bible. In Genesis 12:7, God promises Abram, who had just arrived in Canaan, 'To your offspring I will give this land.' Later, in Genesis 15:18, God expands on that unconditional promise. 'To your descendants I have given this land, from the river of Egypt as far as the great river, the river Euphrates.' Then, in Genesis 17:8, God reiterates the promise to Abraham, adding that the land endowment is irrevocable. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and to your descendants after you." God later repeats the promise to Abraham's son Isaac in Genesis 26:3-4, and Isaac's son Jacob in Genesis 28:13, whose name God later changed to Israel. In the Abrahamic covenant, God then laid out the extent of the land that would belong to the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, a territory including all of Canaan and stretching from Egypt to modern-day Iraq. Several centuries later, when it came time for the Israelites to actually take possession of the promised land, God again spoke of a vast area, from the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites, as recorded in Joshua 1:4. The promise of this land belonging to the children of Israel is permanent. Even when Israel was expelled from their land, which has happened twice in history, God promised that they would return. In Deuteronomy 34:5, it is written, "Even if you have been banished to the most distant land under the heavens, from there the Lord your God will gather you and bring you back. He will bring you to the land that belonged to your ancestors, and you will take possession of it." This promise is part of what is today sometimes called the Land Covenant, as confirmed in Deuteronomy 29:1 and 30:10. In foretelling the removal of Israel from their land, the Land Covenant anticipated the Babylonian captivity in 586 BC and the Roman destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. In both cases, the promise of the covenant held true. The Jews regained their land and their nation in 537 BC, and again in AD 1948. Israel is still in their land, despite the fact that their conquerors Babylon and Rome are long ago gone. All of this reinforces the promises made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that God would establish Israel in their land as his chosen people, as confirmed in Deuteronomy 29:13. The Land Covenant also contains some special promises to Israel that many believe will not be completely fulfilled until the millennial reign of King Jesus. According to Genesis 15:18 and Joshua 1:4, the land that God gave to Israel included everything from the Nile River in Egypt to Lebanon, south to north, and everything from the Mediterranean Sea to the Euphrates River, west to east. On today's map, the land God has stated belongs to Israel includes everything modern-day Israel possesses, plus all of the territory occupied by the falsely named Palestinians, the West Bank and Gaza, plus some of Egypt and Syria, plus all of Jordan and some of Saudi Arabia and Iraq. Thus, Israel currently possesses only a fraction of the land that God has promised them. The rest of Israel's inheritance awaits the return of the Messiah, Lord Jesus the Christ, when he destroys all of her enemies and sets up his millennial reign. God has given his word that the nation of Israel will never cease, as long as the sun still shines by day and the moon and the stars shine by night, as recorded in Jeremiah 31:35-37. The Lord God has spoken, and so it shall be. And this might be a good place to segue to the commentary entitled Myths, Hypotheses, and Facts, The True Identity of the So-Called Palestinians, where they write. In the 2nd century CE, the last attempt of the Jews to achieve independence from the Roman Empire ended with the well-known event of Masada. That is historically documented and universally recognized as the fact that definitively determined the Jewish diaspora, which by definition means the dispersion or geographical spread of a people from their original homeland. The land where these things happened was, until then, the province known as Judea, and there is no mention of any place called Palestine before that time. The Roman Emperor Hadrian was utterly upset with the Jewish nation and wanted to erase the name of Israel and Judah from the face of the earth, as all agents of Satan hold fiercely in their heart, so that there would be no memory of the country that belonged to that rebel people. He decided to replace the denomination of that Roman province and resorted to ancient history in order to find a name that might appear appropriate, and found that an extinct people that was unknown in Roman times, called Philistines, was once dwelling in that area, and that they were enemies of the Israelites. Therefore, according to the Latin spelling, he invented the new name Palestina, a name that would be hateful for the Jews, as it would remind them of their old foes. He did so with the explicit purpose of effacing any trace of Jewish history. Ancient Romans, as well as modern Palestinians, have fulfilled the Hebrew Scriptures prophecy of Psalm 83:3-4 that declares, "They lay crafty plans against your people. They say, 'Come, let us wipe them out as a nation. Let the name of Israel be remembered no more.'" They, of course, failed, and Israel is still alive by the power of their God, Jehovah. And yet, as the debate continues, any honest person would recognize that there is no mention of the name Palestina in history before the Romans renamed the province of Judea, that such name does not occur in any ancient documents, is not written in the Bible, neither in the Hebrew Scriptures nor in the Christian New Testament, not even in Assyrian, Persian, Macedonian, or any other Greek sources, and that not any Palestinian people have ever been mentioned, not even by the Romans that invented the term. An Arab writer and journalist declared that there has never been a land known as Palestine governed by Palestinians. Palestinians are Arabs, indistinguishable from Jordanians, which is another recent invention, Syrians, Iraqis, etc. Keep in mind that Arabs control 99.9% of the Middle East lands. Israel represents 0.1% of the landmass. But that's too much for the Arabs. They want it all. And that is ultimately what the fighting in Israel is all about today. No matter how many land concessions the Israelis make, it will never be enough. End quote. That is because even though Satan has already been defeated, his vain attempts to destroy God's plan of salvation will not cease until Jesus returns and wills his final victory over him. And this is where we must pause for today, beloved. But as we consider these facts, and as born-again believers in Yeshua HaMashiach, we should be considering them. For Romans 11:11-24 reveals to us that we have been grafted into the commonwealth of Israel, and therefore she deserves our support. Let us remember that the Lord God Almighty has already made certain, by the power of his word, that his covenant people Israel shall endure, and that his final victory over all her enemies is soon to be accomplished. In Zechariah 14:4, it is written, "On that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, east of Jerusalem, and the Mount of Olives will be split in two from east to west, forming a great valley, with half of the mount moving north and half moving south." That day is a reference to the day of the Lord, when God's final judgment will come against all evil and unbelief. And the one who stands on the mountain is Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah himself, at his second coming, in victory and in power. The first time he came as a babe in a manger. This time he is coming as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Praise his name forever. Maranatha, come, Lord, come. And as always, beloved, I bid you his agape.
You've been listening to Love's Last Call with Evangelist Carol Ann of Agape Light Ministries. If you have a prayer request, please contact us at Agape Light Ministries, P.O. Box 6313, Chesterfield, Missouri, 63006, or via our website at www.agapelightministries.com. Again, that's www.agapelightministries.com.